This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the disaster relief effort continues here in South Louisiana in the wake of this historic flooding that hit this region almost 2 weeks ago. In times of crisis like this, people often turn to churches, and they seek God in a greater and more intentional way. We're seeing that at our church. Those who are searching for God, however, will have a hard time finding him in some Red Cross shelters. Captain Clay Higgins of Crime Stopper fame is here in just a moment with his efforts to pray with flood victims that were arrested by the Red Cross. We'll talk about that. Also, a lot of focus in the last few days on the revelation of more Clinton emails. The chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee is trying to find out from the software companies that supported Clinton just how vulnerable the contents of those emails were. Texas Congressman Lamar Smith is here a little later on Washington Watch with the details. The website is TonyPerkins.com. Let me remind you, coming up September the 9th through the 11th, we have the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. You can find out information at TonyPerkins.com. We've got a great lineup of speakers that will be there, in addition to Dr. Bill Bennett, who will be the recipient of this year's Leadership Award. Donald Trump will be there. Gary Bauer will be there. Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Of course, my good friend, General Jerry Boykin, will be there. Senator Tom Cotton. The list goes on. Congressman John Fleming, Louie Gohmert, Diane Black, Congresswoman from Tennessee. We've got a great lineup. Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Dr. James Dobson will be there this year as well. And our good friend, Congressman Jim Jordan. The list just goes on and on and on and on and on. The only thing missing right now is you. So if you've not yet registered, I encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. We've got a few seats left, and I'll save it for you. But you got to sign up quick. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over to the Values Voter Summit. All right, if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me on a daily basis, at T. Perkins. A lot going on right now here in South Louisiana as juggling a few different things. But all that can be found at T. Perkins. All right, a little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines. A little extended phone time today to make up for the last 3 weeks where I've been out. 866-372-7234. Jot down that number. We're going to go to it a little bit later. All right, I've been amazed. I've talked about this as I've been on the program here in the last week, off and on. I've been amazed how during one of the toughest weeks in Louisiana history, the state has come together, neighbor helping neighbor, organically. I mean, from the first moment that people began to be in trouble, people were helping one another. And then, of course, we had churches and individuals from all over the country that have played an important role in this recovery effort. I mean, they're housed at our church right now, people from all over. Just met a group coming in from Albany, Georgia, to come in and cook for the public. However, if you find yourself at a Red Cross location, maybe in Lafayette, Louisiana, and you ask for one of these faith-based organizations or individuals just to pray with you, as many people are, well, you might be told you don't have a prayer. You heard me right. They're not allowing prayer. After praying for several flood victims in Lafayette, Louisiana, law enforcement officer Captain Clay Higgins was asked by Red Cross leadership to leave. Now, Captain Higgins told our good friend Todd Starnes at Fox News that he was not proselytizing, but simply there to thank volunteers and offer prayers and encouragement. I tell you, they may want to consider taking the cross out of Red Cross, and maybe we'll just call him Red. Well, joining me now to highlight what happened is law enforcement officer Clay Higgins. Captain Higgins is also running for Congress in the state of Louisiana. Captain Higgins, welcome to Washington Watch.
Brother Perkins, it's an honor to speak with you, sir. And let me say at the outset, I commend you so much, man, for through the years for handling the unjust persecution that you've suffered, sir, as a Christian and a patriot American. I've followed you through the years, and it's my first opportunity. It's my great honor to speak to you. I just want to commend you for your strength and courage that you show.
Well, thank you, Captain. I appreciate that. And some of our listeners may recognize the voice from your days as in Crime Stoppers and pointing out criminals that you're going to hunt them down and get them. And in fact, you did. But you're also a born-again, Bible-believing Christian who cares deeply for people. And you were in Lafayette. You were at one of the Red Cross shelters, simply encouraging people who asked for prayer, encouraging them at a time when they've lost everything. But you ran into some difficulty. Tell our listeners about it.
I did. Tony, I stopped just as a matter of conscience. It just came on my heart. I was not far away. I was finished some duties with the marshal's office. I'm a deputy marshal in Lafayette, and I was near the Hyman Center, but we have hundreds of, you know, citizens that have been displaced by the flooding. Just tragic, man. They were in the shelter, and it just came on my heart to just stop by. I was between point A and point B, between one obligation and another, and I was still in uniform, but I stopped by and I have my Bible. You know, I'm not ashamed. I carry my Bible with me, you know, almost all the time. And I just stopped by to give love, man, just love and compassion and hugs and handshakes and perhaps to shed some tears. And of course, a prayer was always on my lip as Father commanded us for my fellow man that was suffering in this way. But, you know, I was also there to pray, you know, more directly if anyone wanted me to with them. And that was my spirit. That was my true spirit. I was just going to stop by for a while, maybe an hour or so, and offer love and Christian compassion to my fellow man. And I did that successfully for maybe half an hour or so within the facility. And the people that I interacted with were very receptive. And they, you know, I had several meaningful, you know, conversations with folks that had been, you know, lost everything, man. And there was some handshakes and some hugs and some tears were shed. And what's wrong with that? Just human compassion for each other. And of course, I was in uniform. I was obviously not a threat. I'm a pretty well-known guy in the area, but I didn't go around introducing myself and you know, there was no trumpets blaring, as we say. I didn't take a microphone and announce that I was there to pray with anyone. I just sort of quietly moved around through the facility, offering love and compassion and prayers and words of encouragement. And I was about half an hour into that when I was approached by a gentleman whom I had met before, ironically, at a church gathering, a church that I'd spoken at. And he said, Captain Higgins, he reminded me that we had met before. And he said, Captain Higgins, I very much appreciate you personally being here. He was a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, the Red Cross has an issue with you being here. And I said, all right. What could that be? You know, what could possibly the issue be? And he gestured towards my Bible. And I had a, you know, regular Bible in my hand. It's rather well worn right now. But it's a King James Version Bible, and it's the one that I use. You know how our Bibles get. They're worn out. They just kind of become a piece of it. And he indicated it. He sort of gestured towards it, and he said they have an issue with that. And I was very surprised by that, Brother Perkins. But I'm certainly not was going to cause a scene or anything. I said, all right, well, I'm sorry. I'm not out here, you know, I'm not trying to convert anyone. No, I'm just sharing love and compassion. And he said, Cap, just please come talk to the Red Cross people. So he basically escorted me out of that area into the sort of, I don't know, the administrative area that had been set up for the shelter itself. and he introduced me to the gentleman that was in charge, who was himself a very kind man. But he very clearly explained to me that I was not allowed to do that, that the Red Cross was not a religiously affiliated organization, and that they were religious neutral, and that they didn't allow spiritual counseling. He said that if I was going to offer prayer, I'd have to have that approved, and they would set me up a little table, and I would have to stay at that table, and then if people came to me to pray, that would be authorized. But that I wasn't allowed to just walk around offering Christian compassion and prayers in the manner that I had been doing it.
That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing.
It's certainly reflective of the decline of our society. I just didn't realize that the Red Cross was participating in the decline of our society. I mean, it's the Red Cross, and I said at the time, I said, of course the Red Cross is a religiously affiliated organization. It was formed by devout Christians. The symbol of the Red Cross is the reverse of the Swiss flag, which he chose to honor the Swiss Guard, which protects the Vatican. And all the foundational documents of the Red Cross was completely Christian, and to offer love and support and protection and to people across the world, regardless of their religious affiliation, but based upon Christian love and compassion. So to hear the guy from the Red Cross telling me that they weren't, religiously affiliated, that they were religious neutral, that'd be like walking into a Baptist church or any Christian church and having the pastor tell you, listen, we're not religiously affiliated. Of course you are.
It's not surprising. I mean, I've heard other stories, and I've actually had some experiences that have not been extremely positive with the Red Cross when it comes to that. But I think it's the secular bent that our society has gone, enforced, I think, in part by the federal government, because they do contracting work with the federal government, and this president has made very clear where he stands on those issues. Captain, I just want to – we're almost out of time, but I want folks to understand, when you're talking about people in probably most of these cases who lost everything, and because
right.
I can't tell you the number of people we've prayed with in the last week and a half, that they've lost all hope in terms of no insurance, no ability to rebuild, and they're looking for someone to help them through this difficulty.
That's right. And the Lord places us in people's paths. And he gives us missions if we'll just listen. If we'll only take from bended knee in our spirit, we can listen to the Father's guidance, and he'll never steer us wrong. And that's why I was there. It wasn't about me. Man, it wasn't about that they needed me. I was just a messenger of what they needed. I was the deliverer. Of the nourishment that the people needed at that moment, and to be uplifted by just the presence of the Lord's word and his love and his encouragement.
Captain, we're going to stay on this story because I want to see what happens and see if there's any changes here to the way the Red Cross operates. But in the meantime, you stay on that mission. We'll be checking back with you a little later. Folks, don't go away. We're right back after this.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Since September 11, 2001, the U.S. has lost 7,000 lives and $2 trillion in the battle against global jihad. What is needed is a strategy that will allow us to win. What are the best strategies to defeat this threat? And is there an end to this war in sight? I'm Jerry Boykin, the former commander of the Delta Force and executive vice president of the Family Research Council here in Washington. Join me along with Philip Haney, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and Dr. Zudi Jasser as we discuss these very issues. That's at the Values Voters Summit, September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Please visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register, or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to be opening up the phones a little bit later, 866-372-7234. Just months ago, we found out from FBI Director James Comey that while at the State Department, Secretary Hillary Clinton used multiple servers and devices to conduct official government business, these being private devices. Now, information that directly contradicts what Secretary Clinton has said over and over again regarding her use of private email servers. Now, this past Monday, House Science, Space, and Technology Committee Chairman Lamar Smith subpoenaed the three software companies that provided support to Mrs. Clinton's private servers. Now, this is important because they've been unable to get information. They sent letters asking for information from these companies. Last month, they refused to comply with the request from Congress, which are trying to find out just how much of this information could have been compromised and how do we prevent this from going forward. Of course, I mean, it's real simple. If you have people that are not going to live by the rules or abide by the law, then there's nothing that can be done. And we've found that to be very prevalent in this administration from the top down. So we're going to be joined here in just a little bit by Congressman Lamar Smith, the chairman of that committee, to talk about what he hopes to find through this effort of issuing these subpoenas to these three private companies. That's coming up. And again, let me give you the phone number, 866-372-7234. And I'm going to open up the lines today in a moment and just you know, we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. And by the way, for those that have asked on what's happening here in South Louisiana with the storm, you can kind of get a daily brief update from the relief efforts taking place at my church, Greenville Springs Baptist Church. You can go to tonyperkins.com and follow links over, or just go to the website, greenwellsprings.com. And from there, you can kind of get a daily update of what we're doing. All right, I want to go now to the chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He represents the 21st Congressional District of Texas, our good friend, Congressman Lamar Smith. Lamar, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always good to be with you and your listeners and appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, thank you. And congratulations. I understand you have a new grandson.
That is true. First grandchild this morning, and all are well, and all are happy, and all are healthy. So we're grateful.
Especially Grandpa.
Yeah. Right.
Well, congratulations on that. I told our listeners about the subpoenas that you issued to these three technology companies that were supporting Hillary Clinton's private servers. What do you hope to find out from the questions you're pursuing with these companies?
Okay. Well, let me give a little bit of background here. The Science Committee that I chair has jurisdiction over a very little-known government agency called NIST, N-I-S-T, which stands for National Institute of Standards and Technology. And this agency sets the standards for government officials and how they use their servers. And that's of real interest to us because we're not necessarily convinced that Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, was abiding by the government standards as to how her email would be used. And, of course, we've all read how, in fact, she used a private server that was not secure to exchange classified emails that might have endangered our national security. We've also heard how she took it upon herself to literally unilaterally erase tens of thousands of emails, which she said were not government-related. She's required to maintain and hold on to government-related, work-related emails. And then, of course, we just discovered a few days ago that Hillary Clinton, having told Congress and having told the FBI that she had not deleted any work-related emails. Now, the FBI discovered that, in fact, there were as many as 15,000 work-related emails that she had deleted. That's a blatant untruth, I guess is one way to call it, or maybe it's 15,000 untruths. I'm not sure. In any case, her testimony to the FBI and to Congress was not accurate. And one of the things we're curious about is in what ways she may have violated the current standards that govern how a server should be used by a public official. And everything we've seen makes us think that the servers were not used in accordance with the required government standards.
Well, Congressman, that raises a few questions. One, the fact that she testified to one thing, but actually now it's come out that she did another. The statements that she had not deleted any emails, could that have been an oversight? Or, I mean, it's kind of hard to delete 15,000 emails and not know about it.
The more we learn about how she ran her system and what her motives were, the more we have to be concerned, because it does look like she came up with this sort of backroom private system as a way to try to avoid having to disclose her work-related emails. And she knew that some of them might be embarrassing, but she was still apparently willing to take the chance on endangering our national security just because she was trying to keep as much secret as possible and away from the American people and away from government oversight committees like the ones we have in Congress. So all that has to be raising a lot of concerns to a lot of people that she was not really honest in what she was saying about her server. And, you know, we have seen recently that, you know, she said she had erased only her personal emails and they were boring. And then we find out we've got these 15,000 work-related emails that were attempted to be erased, but that the FBI has retrieved. So I guess it just, Tony, I think it just gets worse and worse for Mrs. Clinton because she has not told the truth in so many instances, and she has endangered national security by not using a secure server. And you just wonder how long, frankly, she can get away with this. But
yeah, I think a lot of people are asked.
Our obligation to try to subpoena these three companies. They're the ones who maintained and serviced her servers and find out from them she did or did not do wrong.
Lamar, we're up against the break. Can you hold on for 2 minutes? I want to ask you another question on the other side of this break.
Sure.
Okay. All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation with Lamar Smith on the other side of the break. Then we're going to take your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Thank you. making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
One of the things I've talked about for quite a long time is consumer spending, where we are in the economy when it comes to a very important segment of the economy, and that's you and I spending money, buying stuff we need or don't need. Well, we've lost some of that, and one of the companies that have done very well as a result of our spending habits changing is Dollar General and Dollar Tree. These are discount stores. I'm sure many of you are familiar with them. And they have done very, very well over the last 5 years, primarily due to the fact that consumers are changing what they buy and how they buy it. And when that change lasts long enough, it tends to be, well, a habit, and they start to realize, wow, this is not such a bad thing. And we've seen that throughout the food sector, groceries, and other things as well. So Dollar General and Dollar Tree both seen stock drop dramatically. Dollar General over 7%, Dollar Tree over 5%. Both having lower same-store sales. This at the very same time that Tiffany, the very far end of the spectrum, Tiffany down 8% in sales. So we're seeing both ends of the scale down dramatically. And what does that say? It says that consumers at both ends of the spectrum are extremely concerned with how they're spending their money, what they're spending it on, maybe even concerned if they're going to have any discretionary income.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. On Twitter, it is at T. Perkins, my guest. We're talking with the chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee, Lamar Smith, from the state of Texas. Congressman, we were up there against the break. We were talking about what you hope to find out from these three technology companies that you've subpoenaed. Let's go over that again. What do you hope to find out when you get them to answer your questions? By the way, I told our listeners earlier, you wrote letters to them in July. They did not respond. That's why you did the subpoenas.
Right. We have, as I say, we've subpoenaed these three companies, and we hope and expect them to cooperate. And we're trying to find out whether they and the individual's server who they maintained was operating within the government standards when it comes to use of servers, be it private or be it public. And, official. And so we haven't talked to them yet. We're hoping to talk to them in the next week or two to find out whether, among others, Hillary Clinton was operating her server under government standards.
Now, when you talk about standards,
she was not doing so.
When you talk about standards, you're talking about, like, for instance, security, so the stuff could not be compromised, right?
Correct. This is primarily of interest to us because of the possible breach in national security or the threat to national security. That's correct.
One other question just that I'm interested in, you know, she had these private servers. They're called private. Did she pay for them privately, or did she use government funds to pay for them?
Good question. I don't know that. I know that the State Department was aware of the servers, and quite frankly, I think there were a couple of instances where lower-level officials might have objected and then were told not to object anymore. They were overridden by upper-level officials. So the State Department was aware of what she had. Whether or not they paid for it or she paid for it, I don't know.
I mean, I would think that would be a factor as well.
Yeah,
in the overall, not
question.
Your committee necessarily, but the overall investigation into how she actually funded this effort.
Yeah, I don't, and all the things that I've read, I don't remember that the government actually paid for it. So she was operating kind of offline on her own server, and that's what enabled her to do the thing she did, which was to send emails that might not have been secure, to decide to delete tens of thousands of emails just on her own say-so that they were not work-related. Now we found out that wasn't true.
Yeah, maybe the foundation paid for the servers. Who knows?
Yeah. I started to say that a while ago, but I don't know.
Well, let me say it. All right, Congressman Lamar Smith, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And again, congratulations on the new grandson.
Thanks for mentioning that, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
All right. Texas Congressman Lamar Smith. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Look, I think this is something that's going to continue to plague Hillary Clinton. But what amazes me, and people talk to me about this all the time, is how in the world can she continue to be a presidential candidate that is, you know, neck and neck with Donald Trump with all of this baggage? You know, Benghazi, the private email servers, the fact that, you know, security experts have said you might as well bank on the fact that China and Russia have the information that was on their servers. In fact, I've had security experts that have said that if they don't, their operations aren't worth their salt because these things were easily penetrated and the information gathered. Of course, that's what Congressman Smith is hoping to find out. Did these private servers operate according to government standards when it comes to security and protecting classified information? They wouldn't answer the letters that were sent in July. I wonder why. Now they're subpoenaed, and they have to come and present that information. There's no end to the lawlessness of this administration. I mean, this was when she was a part of the Obama administration as a Secretary of State. All right. Let me go ahead and we got a couple of minutes here. I'm going to open up the phone line. So go ahead and start calling. Probably we'll get to these on the other side of the break. But go ahead, because when we come back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls, 866-372-7234. Kind of an open line. Thursday. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. We're going to have Ken Kukowski who's going to be in for you tomorrow. I'm going to be turning to back to issues here in South Louisiana, cleaning up from the flood. But 866-372-7234. We're going to spend the next segment on your phone calls here on Washington Watch. All right, let me again remind you, the Values Voter Summit is coming up September the 9th through the 11th in Washington, D.C. Great lineup of speakers, and probably not a more important time in recent history in terms of social conservatives, Christians being engaged in this election cycle. This is an important election. I mean, all elections are important, but this one's critical. What can you do to make a difference? Well, you can come and get equipped at the Values Voter Summit. Gather with other like-minded American patriots who care for this country and want to do something about it. To find out more about the Values Voter Summit, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. You can see for yourself the lineup of great speakers, and you can register. We'll save a seat for you there at the 2016 Values Voter Summit. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go straight to your phone calls. We're going to go to Linda in Indiana when we come back. They've been hit by storms up there. In fact, I sent a text earlier today, exchanged messages with Mike Pence. Let him know that we're praying for them as they pray for us. All right, on the other side of the break, we're back with your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Does the U.S. Senate have a responsibility to confirm anyone that President Obama nominates to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat? After the passing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, an intense political debate has emerged around this crucial question. The Constitution does not require conditions or limitations on the manner in which the Senate must act if the president nominates. Family Research Council believes that the Senate should not consider or deliberate on any nominee President Obama puts forward to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat. This is because the president has consistently nominated Supreme Court justices and federal judges who view the Constitution as a malleable political instrument instead of a text with a defined meaning based on the consensus held by the Founding Fathers. To learn more about this critical issue, including 8 helpful questions and answers, visit frc.org/Supreme Court. That's frc.org/Supreme Court.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveoff.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch, 866-372-7234. And as promised, we're going straight to straight to Indiana to talk to Linda. Linda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate all you do for our Christian values, and my prayers go out to you. And I've watched your TV coverage of the devastation there. What I wanted to talk to you about, Tony, is my disappointment in the Red Cross and also what our federal government is doing to our local food pantries here in the community where we live. My husband, my brother, different ones in our community has worked for many years at our local food pantry, and they distribute food to many people. They were told that they could not offer any prayers anymore before they give the food out to the people.
Linda, when were they told that?
Oh, probably 6 months ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the first time I've heard it. In fact, that began, it's been a year or so ago, the first report I heard of that. In fact, I think the first case I heard was there in Indiana where that occurred, and we talked to a member of Congress. I got to follow back up on that and see, because what's happening, it's when they receive any type of federal assistance or connection, the federal government then imposes these anti-Christian, anti-religion policies on them. So, Linda, I am not surprised. I've heard this before, and in fact, I think it's fairly widespread. What occurred? I mean, did they just stop praying, or outcome?
It kind of backfired, actually. She told the gal that's down there now, very active, very supportive of everything, you know, for people that need help. She told the people that was there and outside waiting. And so she says, you can do what you want to outside here. We just can't have prayer inside. So several took it upon themselves to give prayer outside before they got their food.
That's great. It's great that they were persistent and did not capitulate to these anti-religious secular forces. Linda, thanks so much for calling. And by the way, folks, be in prayer for the folks in Indiana. There was some serious tornadoes passed through there yesterday. Fortunately, no loss of life that I'm aware of, but a lot of destruction. Linda, thanks so much for listening, for your kind words, and encourage your family to continue to pray. Look, you know, this is classic. You look in Acts chapter 4 and 5 when the disciples, Peter and John, were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. Right? You can be religious, you can do all these things, but don't get into Christianity. Don't get into Jesus. Well, folks, that's the only thing that offers hope. I mean, let me just tell you some of the folks I've prayed with in the last couple of days, in the last week. People who are really hurting, who have lost all of their physical belongings, right? Everything they have. As I've said yesday, 75 to 80% of the people who lost their homes, their property, you know, their possessions, their furniture, their clothes, had no insurance. They're devastated. I was praying with a lady, days all run together, I don't know if yesterday, day before, home flooded, lost her home, and then this past Sunday, her husband died. And she's in her mid-50s, trying to make sense of all of this, and she just asked if I would pray with her. Now, fortunately, we're at a church, and we're all faith-based, non-profit at our facility. We're kind of the hub, one of the largest church, the largest church in our community. That's why we have Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse. In Franklin, they're determined. They will only do this relief effort if they can do it in the name of Jesus. And they pray with the homeowners whom they go out and they clean out their home. They share the gospel with them. And that's why, look, we are showing the love of Jesus as we stand for the truth of Jesus. And what we're seeing here is this effort to decouple our, like Jesus, you know, feeding the 5,000 and then speaking to them. They know the power of meeting a physical need opens the door for you to share the bread of life with them. And they don't want it. The enemy does not want that. I'm not talking about the enemy of people. I'm talking about the spiritual adversaries who do not want people to be free from the bondage of spiritual ignorance. And we cannot give in to that. It's just like John and Peter said, look, who do we obey? You or God? Do not shrink back in silence. All right, let's go to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. And my prayers are with all the people who have suffered, who are going through these tornadoes and storms. And I want to encourage everybody to pray for them. And the one thing that hit my mind was Hillary is who she is, and it's really sad that she is just, it's just very apparent she's lying, just doing all these things that are so against everything we stand for, but yet people will vote for her. And at the same time, you know, I just hadn't been able to muster up any support in my mind for Trump either. So I'm kind of one of those that's on the third wheel trying to decide who, what I'm going to do. I'm just waiting to see. But one thing that people have said about Ted Cruz that was false, that I heard, is that when Ted was on the stage with the other candidates, they asked, if any of your other candidates won, would you support them? And they asked specifically with Trump, and he said, I would support this guy before I'd support any of the other ones. That's his direct statement. I would support him before I support any of these other guys. But people have turned it and twisted it to say, yes, as if Ted said, yes, I'll support this guy. He didn't say that. He said, I'd support him before I'd support any of these other ones. That's still almost an endorsement for Trump. But I'm just wanting to make that clear so that people understand Ted did not lie. He told exactly what he would do. He'd support him before he'd support any of them, but he never said he'd support any of them.
Right.
So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Shirley. Thanks for listening and for calling and being, you know, very candid on where you stand, because I don't think you're alone. Shirley, I think a lot of folks are where you are, and I've been there as I was processing this. But, you know, just looking at it from an analytical head decision, not a heart decision. My heart was with Ted Cruz as an individual, not as a representative of any of the nonprofit organizations that I represent, but as an individual, I was supportive of Ted Cruz, went out and campaigned for him. But here we are having to make a head decision. in that you look at, as you pointed out, you have Hillary Clinton, who, I mean, how can you say she's trustworthy? I don't think you can. But let's, we ran out of time yesterday, and this is where I left off, was the fact that we have one Supreme Court vacancy that is awaiting the next president. We will probably see two additional vacancies on the Supreme Court during the tenure of the next president, maybe more. That in itself is a major factor in who we should support in this election because of what the court has become. Not, right or wrong, I agree. I disagree with what the court has become. It's become an oligarchy. It's become the rulers, the dictators of policy in this country, which it was never intended to be. The founders never intended it to be that. But yet we see what they've done. We go back to 1973. You go before that, but let's start with 73, Roe v. Wade. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments that they've taken out of our schools, the prayer, the Bible, which that goes back to the 60s. But wholesale abortion. 50 million Americans who are not with us because, in large part, because of the court's decision. And then, of course, June last year, redefinition of marriage, which really has set up a full assault on religious freedom. You don't believe me? Look at my social media and look at the haters out there who are constantly hating because we believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, something that has been the standard through all of human history because we hold the biblical morality. That's what the court has set up through its redefinition of marriage. And so what will be next? Who knows? There's no limit to what the court can do. So, I mean, when you're thinking about who to vote for, there's really only two choices. You have Hillary or you have Trump. And Donald Trump has released a list of the type of judicial nominees, Supreme Court nominees that he would nominate, and they're all conservative. We've vetted them all. That in of itself, and of course I could go on with religious liberty and all these other things, but analytically, that's enough for my head to make a decision on where I'm going personally in this election. Shirley, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. All right, let's go to Oklahoma where Tony is on the line. Tony, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, hi. Good afternoon, Tony. I sure do appreciate your taking my call. And I just want to say before I get to my point that it was pretty awesome to be watching the news reports and seeing you and Franklin Graham out there with Donald Trump and to know and learn all the work that you're doing. I think it's just wonderful and amazing, and I certainly pray God bless every effort you and your volunteers are doing. But the reason I called is I was doing some research the other day and came across the fact that the last and most recent person who had served as Secretary of State to the United States that was elected president was James Buchanan. And James Buchanan, by a number of historians, is considered the worst president the country has ever had. So it doesn't augur well for former Secretaries of State becoming president. So I just thought I would share that little historical fact with you.
Well, that's a good piece of history, Tony, but I think historians will have to bump Buchanan as the worst president of the United States because I have a nomination, but I'll hold that for another day. Tony, thanks so much for calling and for your kind words. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. And by the way, if you would like to keep up with the disaster efforts here and find out more how you can be a part of it, if you'd like to, you or your church, like to put a group together to come down and be a part, this is going to be a long, long process, and we're going to need lots of help. And if you saw any of the reports when Sean Hannity did his program from here earlier this week or when Donald Trump and Mike Pence were here, I mean, they were astounded because the pictures just did not really, that you saw on TV and in the papers, just did not really portray just how significant the damage was. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow links over to GreenwillSprings.com or just go to GreenwillSprings.com. And there's links there for the Samaritan's Purse. We're encouraging people to volunteer with them to come in and be a part of their team. We're hosting them at our church. There's also ways that you can help financially. All that's to be found at greenwellsprings.com, or if you forget that, just go to tonyperkins.com. All right, let's work in a couple more calls here before we run out of time. I want to go to Missouri, where Raquel, I believe, is on the line. Raquel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much. I'm going to talk quickly. I've been practicing this all day in case I got on the radio. I wanted to address the call before, the last one, and I hope Shirley's still listening. I am a 25-year veteran of the military, and I believe part of the mission of Obama administration is to weaken and diminish our military.
Yes.
And obviously we've done that. And I just want to make a really clear example to those out there, because I really think if you're undecided about who to vote for, this will really help, because I'm rallying for Trump votes. And that is, if, say, North Korea sends a missile to bomb us, and the military that we have now, which are young people getting in because of school money, let's say they're playing their video game or on their cell phone and they miss in the radar that the missile is being sent, or they respond late, that missile will hit us. Those are our families. That's our livelihood. That's frightening. And I believe Trump really wants to build up our military. I think it's very important that we strengthen it. And like I said, I'm a 25-year veteran. I know about this, and it really is important to me that we vote for Trump. No doubt about it. I've been for him. I'm a devout Christian. I've been for him from the beginning. I'm sorry I didn't go with Cruz, but I've always been for Trump. And I really think it's important. Please vote for Trump.
Can I ask you what branch of service you were in?
I was in the Army.
Okay. All right. Well, thank
you. During Desert Storm.
Well, Raquel, thank you for your service to our country. Can I just say that you did quite well? You practiced well today. I thought you made a very, very good point. You presented it very, very concisely and with great emotion and emphasis. So, Raquel, thanks so much for listening and calling in. And again, thanks for your service to our country. You know, folks, that's another. I mean, I talked about the Supreme Court. I mean, that's just one, but let's go to what Raquel was talking about from the standpoint of national security. Yeah, she is absolutely right. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know. But the effect has been the same. Our military has been weakened. The president has only been concerned about using the military as a laboratory of experimentation for his social policy. And as a result, it's all but decimated our national security and our defense forces. I mean, the Army's having a hard time meeting their numbers of recruitment and retention. That is yet another reason to make a change. All right, folks, thanks so much for listening. We're out of time. Monica, sorry we didn't get to you in Texas. I know we have other callers holding, but Lord willing, there will be another day. Until then, I encourage you to please pray for the folks of Louisiana. Help us as we help people begin the process of rebuilding their lives, and pray that they would be open to the gospel, because we're going to present it and give them true hope. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, that's right, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 34.